This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
When you know the psychology behind something, and when you can teach your kids to notice the psychology behind something, it starts losing its effect on you. It is not about limits so much as it is about educating people using these devices and what they're trying to do. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crown, joined here by the delightful Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
We're talking about screen time today, but it is not the typical conversation that you will hear on other parenting podcasts about screen time, because I kind of want to take it down. I want to take down the screen time argument. Just this morning, Bree, I was looking through Instagram and there was yet another person telling moms how they should run screen time in their house on Instagram. And this one was like, well, the expectations you set at the beginning for screen time are going to be the ones that the kids become accustomed to. So make sure you start, you know, strongly.
What was her advice?
It was just to like set a short amount of time as you want. Mm-hmm. And like, because it's harder to go back on it than it is to allow more wiggle room on it. But we're asking the wrong questions here.
Like, the advice isn't terrible. It's good advice, but the problem is, one, it's not long term. It's not thinking about the long game here. And two, wow, I would feel like just complete and utter poop every day that I would fail.
Exactly.
So I mean,
exactly.
And then also we're talking about for this episode. And I, Bree, the mom, would be the one that feels like poop.
Exactly. So in this episode, we're really talking about whose job is it for these stupid screen time rules? Because I'll give you one hint, they're making it mom's job. And we don't think it has to be that way. So look forward to this episode and let's get on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Okay, Bree, so this screen time debate, like it's always kind of bothered me, like right underneath the surface of like all of these so-called experts giving moms advice about how much screen time is appropriate and what should kids do on screen time. We even see this in our balance group with questions that are asked, with all of this like brain power being devoted to what do you guys do for screen time and how much screen time do your kids have? I mean, you've seen it too.
Right. And just to be clear, like our bone that we are picking on this episode is not that screen time should be limited. Yes, we do believe that there are limits to things. Like, there are limits to everything in life. Everything should happen in moderation. But that it feels like this doom and gloom method of hell and fire and brimstone are going to fall upon you and your family if your child is on screens for too much during the day, that not only is everybody going to go to hell in a handbasket, but it's also all on you, mom. Because if you're not policing it, then you're not doing your job as a mom. And that's where we are like, no.
No. Like, there's so much I want to say of it. Because when we talk about screen time limits, like, everything you say should have its limit.
Yeah.
Or be in moderation, mm-hmm. including moderation.
Okay. Okay.
Let's hear use moderation that. In moderation as well. Because I just don't think that there is, like, even though our membership is called balance, because there's this idea in the world that you need to balance your life. You need to have things in equal parts. Mm-hmm. And that's really not it at all. It's about what works for you and what is the best for you and your family and your kids.
It's like, really?
It is not.
Yeah, no, it is not what?
Well, no, it is not about these, like, made up limits about what's good and what's bad, because they're all made up. In fact, like, throughout history, there has been this, like, push against every single media that has come out. I mean, in our No Guilt Mom Weekly, I recently wrote about reading and when books came out. And all of these people in, like, the 1700s were worried about the nation's children of this reading epidemic. Like, I'm not kidding. They thought it was a reading epidemic. And they thought that reading caused, like, seeking sensation more. And, like, irregularity of emotions, like the same exact words we are using for screen time today. It's just history repeats itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, like, our balance group, instead of being called balance, should have been called what brings you peace. But that was too long to put on a sticker. And you know how much we love our stickers.
We'll leave.
So, you know, and was like, hey, but I mean, you're right. Like, everything new that comes along, everybody freaks out about it. Like, the same thing, like, mm-hmm. with radio when it first came out. And, like, oh, do you remember when radio? Well, not that we're old enough to remember this. Let me clarify that for our listeners. But, like, when radios first were added to cars, like, they were like, no, this is terrible. Everybody's going to be, like, having accidents. And, again, we're not saying that limits aren't good. We're just saying that we personally feel like the message that is getting sent out en masse to moms is not as helpful as it seems, and that there is a different perspective you can take that will be better for your mental health, your well-being, and in the long run, more than likely, be better for your kids as well. So, my first bone to pick on this is, why is it always being told to moms? I have never once in all my years of doing home visitation and newborn follow-up, parent education programs I worked in, as well as, like, all of the social media that I see, I have never once seen an information being sent out to dads that you need to monitor your kids' screen time. Never once.
Yeah, no, I've never seen it either. The message is not there.
With the patriarchy on this.
It is totally down with – you know my bone with the patriarchy. Yes. I like to pick that fight every single day of my life. Like, the whole, like, for screen time, like, why is it mom's responsibility? Because this is a question we're not asking. Like, instead of how much screen time should your kids have, what screen time apps are you using, the question should be, why are we in charge of
why
this?
Why is it all –
Why are we as moms in charge
of
this?
Why is it always my fault when the kids are on for too long? Like, I was doing 16 other things, for God's sake.
Exactly. And that is what is being pushed on us to think about, because screen time, like, there is nothing wrong with screen time. And people will come back with me and say, Joanne, oh my gosh. All of these apps, and they have these things built in where you just don't want to put it down. And the TikTok algorithm, Joanne, the TikTok regular algorithm is so obsessive. Like, you'll be on there for hours and you don't even know. And that's going to harm
kids'
brains.
And what was it? We had a guest that did. I think it was Devorah Heitner or somebody was talking about, like, these apps that, like, make the characters go cry when you log off.
Oh, yes. I remember.
I was like, what? That is so mean.
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's true. They are using these things that are specifically aligned with human psychology to get people to stay on their devices longer. However, these techniques are not new. Yeah. And they are not specifically used by the tech companies. So it's not like it is an evil, evil thing. There's a book of, it's by Robert Cialdini that a lot of online marketers read. It's called Influence. And it's so funny because originally Robert Cialdini is actually a professor at ASU, but he has nationwide appeal. And he wanted to make consumers aware of all of these psychological tactics that like sales companies use to sell their products, to make you want their products. The things like scarcity, mm-hmm. like only providing a limited amount makes people
go. Oh, that gets me every time.
Buy.
Every damn time. If I don't get it now, it'll be gone.
Oh, and like it was used during like the Christmas season when we were growing up, like Furbies. Oh my gosh, you have to go get a Furby. There's none left. Like you had those tactics being used on you. And what's really funny about this book is that he published it for that intention to tell consumers. Well, guess what happened? All of the marketers picked it up and read the book and started using all of the tactics.
He's
in their
like,
marketing.
Well, wait, that wasn't my intention. Oh.
Yeah. So it was used for like to sell more stuff because that – I mean, that's what it is. It's human psychology. So it's not so much about limiting screen time because this human psychology is at work mm-hmm. everywhere. But I will tell you what you can do for it right after this break. Hey, all. It is Joanne.
And Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explains, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Or just click on the link in our show notes.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory, two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it. Okay, so right before the break, it's funny. Every time I go into an ad break, Bree's always... is like congratulates me on how seamless I made this transition into an ad break.
It's a lot. We have a lot going on. Like, we're literally talking about the episode at we have a short outline for these people, but for the most part, this is you're legitimately like, imagine we have a cup of coffee or our favorite drink and we are just sitting and talking, because that's how we do these episodes. So again, I think that's amazing how you managed to seamlessly do that.
Well, thank you. But I want to bring it up to what we were actually talking about. We were talking about that book, Influence, and about all these psychological tactics. And of course, I've read it. I'm a marketer. I know what these tactics are. And I just used one to get you to keep listening through our wonderful sponsors who we think have great things for you. I used a cliffhanger.
I didn't tell you like all the information you wanted to know. I put it after the break. That is a psychological tactic. That is one of those psychological tactics that's like tech companies are using to keep people on screens and their devices longer. So knowing when those happen is the secret. Like when you know the psychology behind something and when you can teach your kids to notice the psychology mm-hmm. behind something, it starts losing its effect on you. And this is something else that is out of the screen time discussion. It is not about limits so much as it is about educating people using these devices and what they're trying to do. Like one of our favorite guests is Devorah mm-hmm. Heitner, who wrote ScreenWise, who really, really promotes this idea of you don't want to be the police of your kids. Like you don't want to have to be policing all their screen time. Instead, you want to be walking alongside them and educating them so that they could eventually make the choices themselves.
Well, right. Because, we are, I say this all the time to people, especially in balance, like everybody needs the ghost of child future, like the friend that has a kid that's a little bit older. And I know that we don't have older kids than everybody who's listening, but you know, I've got a kiddo that's turning 17 in a week and a half, and I've got an almost 16-year-old. We can tell you that I was flabbergasted, and you and I both have worked in the school system. I was like an admin, not in the classroom, but I was flabbergasted when my kids got into junior high and high school about how much tech they needed to use on a daily basis for school. Just insane mm-hmm. to me. So again, like what I'm trying to tell you is that, yes, there's a good point for limits when they're younger, but they are going to have to use screens and tech for the rest of their lives in their work, but even in their school. In school, while they are still at home living with you. And that is why it's important, because they do need to learn this stuff. We can't be their gatekeepers forever. It's impossible.
Yeah, well, they do need to learn it, and they are going to eventually go out on their own. And there is this huge conversation right now about screen time and mental health. Mm-hmm. And the issue is, like, when you spend all of your time on screens, you are missing out on real social connection. You're missing out also on activity and exercise and things that would make you feel good if you realize it, if you got off your screen. And those things are all true. Now, what I see happening on social media in particular is that they say that the solution to this problem is, mom, you got to limit the screen time. You should only let your kids have so much a day. I make my kids have green time in addition to screen time. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen green time. Is green time outside? Like, I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah. It's outside. Green time's outside. But like all of this stuff that like I see it, I'm like, guys, we're missing the point here. Because you cannot tell a teenager, you cannot just simply take away their device. I really want to see how this works out. And this is probably how it is working out in many, many homes where they're like, all the popular advice, well, you're the parent, you should just take it away.
I'm sorry. We're not saying you can't, but it might not have the results you would like.
Yeah.
It more than likely
won't.
It's
one of those things where that is where you're going to see the pushback with your kids. That is where you're going to see the rebellion of your kids. Like if you think teenage rebellion, there is nothing that will incite more teenage rebellion than them to think that something has been unfairly taken away from them. And I want to argue that if you just have your kids on screens and then you take something away, that was unfair to them and that was disrespectful to them. And I will stand on that. Like you can come at me with that one. I will stand on that because at that point in their lives, kids are making their own decisions and they're becoming autonomous. And they, like, the more respect you show them, the more respect they show us. Now, there's a lot of teaching that goes behind that. There's a lot of discussions that go
there
behind
that. And I would say, like, you know, we recently had our Happy Mom Summit. Ned Johnson was one of our speakers again. Ned Johnson's been on the podcast mm-hmm. a few times. He is amazing and he is an expert in teen motivation. And one of the things that he said in one of our podcast interviews that really has always stuck with me is that, you know, your kids are home, are like live with you theoretically
for 18 years. And that during those 18 years, you are establishing a relationship with them that's going to hopefully make them still want to interact with you after those 18 years when they leave. And you and I both take the mindset that, like, just saying my house, my rules is a very quick way to make your child feel like they have no voice, they have no say, and that there is that respect only goes one way. And that's not how relationships are.
It's not how relationships are. And it doesn't give kids any tools to use for the future. Because once they move out of your house, who's going to take away their screen
time?
Oh, I know, right?
Who's going to be the one? Like, what's, whoa, no party time! I get to do whatever all the time because I never learned how to handle limits on my own. I just had everybody else doing them for me. Sorry. They won't sing it that way. Like, they won't jump into a dance number. But it could happen.
That's kind of how it is, though. So instead of, like, enforcing limits, which I think is incredibly hard and makes you feel like a failure every day because they are impossible to enforce every day with everything else you have on your mind. Like, this isn't saying, like, you're a bad parent if you don't enforce limits. This is saying that, oh my gosh, it's impossible for you to enforce these limits because you are a busy person yourself. And, like, can I just say, like, part of my rage, how dare people go out there and tell parents that they should do their job and enforce their limits? Like, what? Like, gall do they have to say that?
To feel like they're not doing their best and that parent, I mean, yeah, to sit there and judge right out the bat that you're not doing a good job and that you're not caring if you're not doing this. And that's where we're like, BS to that. That's not, no.
Or that you need to step up and be the adult. Oh, Bree, I can't. Like, hold me back, Bree.
There is something to be said about the importance of being there and being supportive to your kids is not the same thing as them liking you and all the time and wanting to please everybody. That's a whole different problem we're talking that could be there. And I just want to be clear because I feel like sometimes the first argument I hear back from certain people that have the mindset that, you know, be the adult, you're the one in charge. They seem to think that if you do anything that could possibly be to the benefit of the child, that you're being a pushover and you just want them to like you. And you're like, No, that's not it.
No. So, we're just using human psychology and how people work to be able to get exactly what we want. Like, and what we want isn't nefarious. What we want is we want our kids to be mentally healthy. We want them to be mentally strong. We want to have a really good relationship with them and we want to make sure they're kind, good people. Like, that's what we want. And so if you're putting on limits and these boundaries, you're not getting what you want. You're actually getting a lot of rebellion and pushback. So the question becomes, around screen time, how do we get what we want? And we're going to have that message for you right after this break.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
So what do we want as parents? We want that good relationship. We want them to have, like, mental strength. We want them to take care of their own responsibilities because we don't want them to be on screens all the time. So the way I've gone about this, and I want to hear the way that you've gone about it too, Brie, is that I started having a lot of discussions with my kids. We talked first of all about how screens make us feel. And it usually happens, like, if I've seen them be on screens for a while. This is how I started out. And I'm like, hey, like, how's it going? Like, how's your mind going? Because, like, they also had limits on theirs. But ours limit wasn't a strong and fast limit. It was a, okay, you have an hour screen time, and then you need to come check in with me. So I did have a system that was automated, that was driven by them. And yeah, not
they had
me.
To actually get up and come talk to you.
Exactly. More. I didn't have to check in with them. They had to come to me if they wanted more screen time. And so they would come to me, and that's when we would have these discussions, be like, okay, so how are you doing? How are you feeling? And they would tell me, they'd be like, oh, you know, I'm doing good. Like, I'm playing with my friend on Minecraft. And I'd be like, cool. They're like, can I have another hour? I'm like, yeah, sure. That's fine. Like, you're talking, conversing. It's totally cool. And then other times, like, they would come to me, and maybe one of them would stomp in the room, and I'd be like, so. And also, like, during these times is when I check in on, like, their other responsibilities. I'm like, so how does the kitchen look right now? To which I would get the, and, like, the scream at me, and then go stomp out of the room, and then I hear, like, the dishes going. I'm like, I mean, they're not happy about this at all.
They're not a good place, but it's also at the, like, moment. And that's obvious.
No. But they also knew that this was, like, first of all, the dishes were their responsibility. Mm-hmm. And, like, the screen time check, like, I wasn't doing any moral put down for them. They just had not done their job yet. So, like, it was a very simple thing. So that's how we first started talking about it. And then other conversations would come up just in the car. And I would say about my own screen time, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I've been on my computer all day and I really need some time outside because I'm feeling really, like, depressed and sad, and just bringing it up that way and modeling through me, so that over the years, as we've done this, my kids are like, I'm going to go out biking. Like, my son in particular, I'm going to go out biking. I can't be on screens anymore. And he'll, like, text his neighborhood friend and they'll go out biking now. But they're realizing now to monitor their own mental health, to be like, hey, I've been here a long time. I need to get off. Versus me enforcing the limit. Now, there are times where I will see mental health deteriorating, and that is when I'll step in and have the conversation with them, being like, I notice these things right now, and I don't think that being on your screen right now is really serving you or helping you. And they'll be like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, let's take a break and let's go outside. and like, I will be like, okay, you're not fine. Let's go and talk about this. And it would be a slam the computer, stomp up the stairs, slam the bedroom door, and then, like, in an hour, I'm sorry. So it's not – like, when you say that, that is to make our kids like us.
Right.
Done nothing.
Like, that is my point, is that, like, when you say it in the way of, like, oh, let's check in, let's do – you know, it – I think a lot of people imagine that it gets to the point where you were articulating that it is now, after years of talking and working with them, where they're like, you're right, Mom. I think I'm done with my screen time right now. Okay, first of all, you don't get that all the time. Like, how many times, even as an adult, how many times have you had that conversation with somebody else where they wanted something that you had control of? Let's even just take your spouse, right? The person who you're supposed to, like, be able to get along with and communicate with the best. There's something from you that they want, that you have control of, and you tell them no, they're not going to get it. How often are they like, oh, I totally understand. That's great. Yeah, totally. No problem. No problem. Yeah, I hear you. No, a lot of times there is pushback, but give people time to breathe and they will work through it. And it, like, the amount of skills that you're teaching your children in those scenarios that you were talking about checking in on your mental health, displaying, like, what reasonable limits could be, giving other solutions, giving them space, allowing them to be angry and work through it in a helpful way, instead of, like, continuing to have them scream back at you when you're like, you could sit there and keep yelling at them. How dare you stomp at me? Do you know how expensive that computer is? You do not slam it. This is my house. These are my doors. You don't slam them. I do admit, like, that's the one thing that gets me in my house. I do not like doors being slammed, but I've told my kids a million times it's because I don't want you to crack. Don't crack my walls from slamming doors.
Yeah. Well, now they have jobs, Bree. So they he'd be like, I need some salary.
Yeah, now it's going to be like, okay, now there's some money here, too.
But I mean, like, so there's a lot of things that you're teaching them that I think is immensely helpful, way more helpful than just the arbitrary, you get 1 hour of screen time and that's it. And there's other pieces of the advice that is out there that you and I both utilize in our homes. Like, I have a rule of, like, no phones out at dinner. We don't have if you're expecting something that's important, you can have your phone face down on the table. Like, if there's something timely that's coming through, I'll allow for that, but you don't get to be on it. Like, we don't do that.
Yeah, but there's a specific reason for that. There's a, hey, we want to talk with each other at the dinner table, so you need to put your devices down. And, like, that's more of a norm. That's like a family norm. That's something we're all together. It's not this outside thing that you have to police while you're doing a billion other different things at the time. Like, you're focused on your people at the dinner table. So that's, like, that's a norm. Yeah. But this idea of, like, trying to figure out how many hours a day your kids spend on screens, especially when they're off on school break while you're trying to get your own work done, is just ridiculous. And I want to banish it from all, like, mom's thoughts and vocabularies and whatever. Like, screen time limits, I just want to be like,
pfft. Well, I think that also, like, when it comes into them needing to be on their screens for schoolwork, researching a paper that they have to write, or whatever. And that even starts in elementary school with topics that they're doing a project on. They need to get information. And as much as I would love to have my kids still go to the library like I did back in the day and check out open up an encyclopedia and read up on something, that's just not how it's done. And
you did that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I did not do that.
I mean, I'm not, like, that much older than you, but I am also from, you know, the Midwest. So, yeah, like,
well, what did you read up on?
Well, like, whatever I had to do a report on. Like, oh, man, now I'm, like, trying to think. Like, I just remember.
Oh, well, that's school stuff.
Yeah, that's what I said. Stuff.
I did have to do that.
Yeah, that's what I said. For school projects and things like that, you have to go and
got
do
it.
That.
I thought you did it for fun. No. I was like, what?
No.
That was my thing. I was like, what? What did you do?
I still remember it was the mid.
This does not align with your personality.
Library in Gladstone, Missouri. Shout out to my North Kansas City people. That was for like reports and stuff. But I mean, like, my point is, our kids have to get on screens for stuff like that. And yes, there are systems you can use that can, like, block out certain websites and time frame all of that. But if you're not.
And that's all great. Like, block out those websites. I don't want to see
them. But if you're not able to do that for whatever the reason, I don't think it's fair still for mom to take on the entire mental load of trying to narrate who was on what website for how long and how much time they got for X, Y, Z and all of these things. Like, it's a lot. So, like, one of the big things that I would tell you is that you need to talk to your partner about this and have a tap in, tap out system. Like, where it's like, it's not all on me. Okay. It's not all on me. If you see that the kids are on their phones when they're not supposed to be, or if you feel like they're getting, you know, snippy, I prefer to use the word pissy, but that's not everybody's favorite vocab word. So if you see the kids are getting snippy and stomping or not getting their stuff done around the house, you can say something too. It's not all on me. Like, and I think sometimes we have to say that, right? Yeah. Like, because I think sometimes people assume that we have everything covered as the she-fault parent. And it's like, dude, I don't want to be. I can't be.
No. And also, like, talking to your husband or partner about what they feel about screen time. Because I know, like, my husband spends a lot of time on his screens, and it's how he decompresses. Like, he is very overly stimulated by his work environment and comes home and needs to put in headphones just because he cannot physically relax. So screens have uses that allow you to decompress and take that load off. And I've had talks with my daughter in the car, because there's one situation where I picked her up from school and she was immediately, like, on her screen and just ignoring me in the car. And I told her, like, how it felt. I was like, yeah, I just feel ignored. And she told me very, like, to my face, she's like, I feel like it's better if I'm on my screen, else I'm going to say something to you that I will regret because I'm in a very bad mood right now. I'm like, okay, I can accept that.
Thank you for communicating that. But you see how, like, and again, that was a check-in. That was, like, because of the fact you guys have talked about your feelings and that you can express that without getting a, how dare you talk to me in that tone? How dare you say that to me? You should be happy to see me. I'm your parent. Like, come on. Like, we're all allowed to have these feelings. So, like, so tapping in, tapping out, like you said, talking to your partner, talking to your kids about their mental health, checking in with them. I think another thing, too, is, like, narrating that screen time sometimes. Like, I have to narrate it sometimes to my kids because when they were in, like, early elementary, all of elementary, I would say, even through, like, the beginning of middle school, they would be like, well, you're on your phone all the time. And so I would have to be like, okay, true point. Would you like to see the article that I'm reading right now about the recent tax rates that got voted in our city? Would you like to read that article with me? Like, that is what I'm doing. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not playing Candy Crush. Like, there are other things that we can use our phones for.
Not that there's anything wrong with it being on Instagram or being on Candy Crush. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
But having that conversation, again, it's a dialogue.
It is a dialogue. It's a dialogue. And it's one of those things, like, kids will see what you do. And so narrating is a great tactic because then you could also be like, hey, I feel really crummy right now. I need to put this down. I also tell my kids, I'd be like, look at what they're telling me to do for you on Instagram. Like, I do come to my kids and be like, okay, so here's what I'm seeing about screen time limits and how they corrupt kids' brains on Instagram and what moms should do. What do you think about this? And it's so interesting because when I get my kids' viewpoints on it, they tell me, they're like, well, yeah, mom, I see that all the time from people. But here's why I think that, like, that's wrong. And they'll explain to me. And I agree with them because it's not screen time in particular. There shouldn't be, like, these blank screen time limits. It is just humans and human nature and psychology. And if we try to make it too black and white, we get the whole situation wrong. So to end this episode, I hope that you consider backing away from any set screen time limits and going more into discussion with your kids. We help you do stuff like this, give you the support for it in our Balance program. So if you're wondering, where do I go next? Like, we have the program for you where we can help you start rethinking parenting so that you have more of these conversations and less of these, like, head-on, head-butting arguments with your children. So check that out. We're going to have a link for you in the show notes. And until next time, remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.